Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. And from, obviously, from the rainy eastern seaboard with the now tropical storm working its way. Apparently, 24 hours or so of wet weather, and we need it. Let's be honest. We're not gonna bemoan really the first extended period at all of wet weather, and so the expectation certainly for the racing today, anything that was going on up and down the coast, and we'll watch for further details. But here in the Saratoga region, we know, for instance, tomorrow's jump race that opens the card at Saratoga. We know that it opens Travers Week. It's Travers Week! Christmas in July, Travers in early August. The nice handicap that was set up for tomorrow. We're going to talk to Bill Gallo, actually. Gallo's going to join us in hour two. And I wanted him to also talk about the results from Colonial on Sunday. And so we'll do that, and we'll find out if they're going to, I suppose they're going to have to redraw this group, but it was a really nice race tomorrow. So it'll undoubtedly stay intact, and that means jump races next Wednesday and Thursday. We'll talk to Bill and get the details. And then there's only two turf races scheduled here tomorrow for those that are looking ahead. We'll talk to Andy. Take that back. There's a third turf race that I did not notice, which is the Nightcap. There was the Allowance ninth, and then there was also the State Bred Allowance third. So there's actually three of tomorrow's nine races, because now it'll be races 2 through 10 as opposed to 1 through 10. All right. So I think you can, well, let's just wait and see. We'll wait and see. I mean, we're supposed to get several inches of rain, and as dry as the courses have been, you assume they're going to soak it up really well. It's also going to be interesting to see how the main track absorbs and the new drainage that was added. So we'll talk to Andy and get some opinions, I think, for tomorrow, because it's a bread and butter kind of a card. There's the Summer Colony that's got actually a couple of notable horses, including Golden Award, facing off against a trio of Pletchers, Mott and three Pletchers. There's also a big price from Rob Attriss, Bossy Bride, but some nice stake fillies and mares in the mile and an eighth Summer Colony tomorrow. We'll look ahead with Andy too to the way the Travers is shaping up, and on that front, it's looking like an 8-horse contingent led by Tiz the Law, of course, Uncle Chuck, and we do expect to visit with Bob Baffert in hour three today. We've got a couple of topics beside the horses to discuss, including some of the jockey protocol discussions that arose yesterday from the media call. And on that front, we'll talk about that in a second. Baffert, I thought, had some very logical ideas We'll circle back to this, but a quick glance. Travers right now, the 8, looking like Tis the Law, Uncle Chuck, Max Player, Caracaro, and Country Grammar coming out of the Peter Pan. And the late edition of First Line from the Noda Brothers, South Bend, new to Bill Mott, off the Horse of Racing Age sale purchase, and Ralph Nix with Chivalry. And speaking of Ralph Nix, by the way, I should mention, because I wanted to slip in the rest of the stake results from the weekend, and Ralph Nix and Michael Yates combined on Saturday at Gulfstream in the Florida Sire Series, the Dr. Fager and the Desert Vixen, breeze on by from Nix with Jaramillo, and Go Jojo Go from Michael Yates and Louis Reyes, and both from Stonehedge, Mr. Campbell, and they swept the two. I mean, they're not as rich as they used to be. They used to be, what, 350? Give or take, right? 300, 350? But still, very nice, you know, very nice purses down at Gulfstream. And Terry Pompei, I want to mention, too, on Sunday, she was a winner with Cool Arrow. It was very nice. And Reyes there. So Reyes, 2 stake wins over the weekend down at Gulfstream, in case you missed that. And while we're on this topic, and before we talk about the news that was hardly confirmed, and it's not written in stone, but today, tomorrow, Thursday, the official decisions from Churchill as to how they want to handle the jockey protocols. So we'll talk about that momentarily. The Ellis Park action, I wanted to get to this too from Sunday. And as you heard when we had Hammer visit on Friday, weekend preview, you know, one of the things to look toward was Sunday's card at Ellis, which was really good. The 5, nice $100,000 Kentucky Downs preview stakes. And there was a little bit of everything, actually. there was a nice mix and match of you know, favorites that came through and a price. I referenced one of them yesterday when we were visiting with Jack Sisterson. But a rundown quick in the turf sprint. Caratari, Brian Lynch, for owner William Branch. This was a Artie Schiller, the 4-year-old gelding out of the Rahi mare, and Tom Evans and Pam Clark bred Caratari, 7-2, 880, fifth career win, and has really been nice, and he gives a good account of himself. 880, beat the favorite in here, Tiger Blood, Mike Maker, one of the few races Maker hasn't won, one of the few stakes in recent weeks. But Julian Leperoux aboard for Brian Lynch to start off the stake sequence. One of our absolute favorites, Jimmy Baker and Candy. Spectacular gem. Goes off as the near 2-1 favorite. This was in the Tourist Mile preview. And if you didn't see it, James Graham, I mean, rode him like he was 3-5. I mean, and a winner every step of the way, visually. And spectacular gem now, 6-16. The Can the Man Colt that the Bakers own. And, of course, we talked to Jimmy after that just agonizing DQ in the Caesars last year. But that was okay because he came back and won the Jefferson Cup. Spectacular gem. Good prep, good tune-up for the Tourist Mile 99 buyer as well, which is a nice follow-up to the 101 he ran in June in his seasonal debut at Churchill when he came back for his four-year-old. So two for two at the age of four. Always happy. One of the, you know, now with Scooter Dickey retired, one of our Scooter maxims was, you know, when Scooter Dickey wins, we all win. Well, with Scooter retired, I think Jimmy Baker now gets that mantle. When Jimmy Baker wins, we all win. Into Mystic, favorite in the ladies' sprint, Brendan Walsh. And Brendan Walsh was a shocking 0 for something going into the weekend at Ellis. I don't know if he won on Friday, but he was 0 for 16, which uncharacteristic. Six board hits, 3 seconds, 3/3, but Into Mystic with Joe Talamo for a hat full of owners, it looks like. Coleman and King. This a Runnymede and Catsby Clay bred Into Mischief filly, now 4. And she was coming out of the Monrovia in May before being shipped east. And actually had really been tuning up nicely at Keeneland. Into Mystic. And she won with some authority, too. The ladies' preview. And then there was the ladies' turf. And this was where the upset was authored. The price in the sequence. Rusty Arnold. And this was that Calumet, the other Calumet stake winner I mentioned with Jack on board yesterday. English Affair, Rafael Bejarano, 15-1, brought you back 31.80, and the English Channel mare now 6. Calumet homebred, of course, and out of the Colonial Fair mare, Lady Malisi. English Affair. Fourth win in 17 career starts, so low mileage on this mare. And she missed a track of about a year since last January, the Previant. Then was off a year before coming back in the very one. And was actually, is this a Rusty Arnold? Rusty's as old school as it gets. And third off the layoff after the very one, and progressive increase in figures and a career best in this spot. And I happen to have seen this one live, and I mean, she won unbelievable. I mean, 15-1, and she won like a favorite. And speaking of favorites, Daddy is a Legend was exceedingly disappointing. She chased, and you know, Rusty actually now helming, or at least was sent Daddy is a Legend, and this was not a August seasonal debut for the five-year-old mare. So, and she'd been working well, too. Got to find out some thoughts from Rusty on this, actually. And if anything, you know, anything went sideways. And then the shortest price of the sequence in the stakes at Ellis on Sunday, the preview Turf Cup, and factor this. The factor, five-year-old, and it's actually that's an unusual chart miscue, actually, as I look down, because the chart lists him as a colt as opposed to being a horse. You don't see that mistake too often. This is another win for the five-year-old. He's having a absolutely terrific season is now, 4 for 5? And it's funny, he really hasn't missed a trick, because he was at Fairgrounds for the winter and ran, you know, in the Bradley, and then put together this 4-race win streak. So factor this, the mile and a quarter preview cup for Brad Cox and Gaining Ground Racing, originally bred by Maccabee Farm. And there was also a maiden race that I wanted to mention. Thomas Humphreys, with a toneless colt that he owns, Belafonte, with Deck Cannon. And this was a monster price. This was the $100 winner. LSB, as I notate sometimes, longest shot on the board. and one like... one like there was never a doubt about it. And, you know, he this horse really kind of snuck in. A $20,000 yearling purchase at Phasic October last year. And, you know, Tonalist first out. And Tom Humphreys with modest stats. Horse was 30-1 on the morning line on, I guess, the connection element. and wins lights up the tote board. That came mid-card in the fifth. So very good day of racing. And I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but I still have the chart with me. And going back to last Sunday, in the good Lord, absolutely Aiden, Wesley Hawley, horse that he owns, four-year-old Stay Thirsty colt, bred by their Nardellis and John Clark. And Hawley owns with Greg Fry. And Chris Landeros booted absolutely Aiden home in a nice sprint group going 6.5. So there's your Ellis update. And, of course, they've got a big day coming next Sunday again. Three Sundays in a row with stakes action and the Ellis Park Derby. Starting to see some commitments and some decisions, and of course, led by Art Collector and Ann O'Dor, who's coming east, Blaine Wright, Dean Martini in there, the Ohio Derby upsetter for Amos, Major Fed, Shared Sense, and others. Should be good. So the Travers on Saturday, Ellis Park Derby on Sunday. All right, get that. Boy, we're knocking things out here left and right. Let me give you an idea of what's going on as the morning progresses. I told you Bill Gallo and Andy Serling later, as well as Baffert. How about a visit from Bill Downs? And speaking of, you know, Midwestern stakes action, tomorrow, I wanted to get in front of this. Tomorrow at Indiana, you've got two state bred stakes, $75,000 opportunities, and it is they're both really good. The Snack, particularly, I thought was worth looking at, and it got me to, I wasn't going to talk to Bill Downs till next week when a couple more stakes, but I have to reach out. The Ellen's Lucky Star for the three-year-old fillies, and of course the Indiana-bred three-year-old boys in the Snack. So we're going to talk to Bill Downs this morning as well. And after the first break, Anthony Margotta Jr., who I've wanted to visit with for ages, and Margotta, of course, sending out the Monmouth Oaks winner, Hopeful Growth, Square Price as well, Antonio Gallardo aboard the Tappage for Philly. And I haven't given that number out. In fact, when it came to Saturday's sequence in the cross country, but Hopeful Growth absolutely contributing to the very nice return. And you know, the race, the two races at Woodbine, they didn't. Now the one was fine. The second of the two races, but the first one, that Ollie's, what was it, Ollie's boy? I only had him as a C. It didn't matter because Hopeful Growth I didn't have anywhere. So Hopeful Growth did me in at Monmouth. But if you didn't see the number, the cross country pick five, 13,000. 744. 13,000. And of course, ending with the Echo Town win. And speaking of Echo Town, we're looking forward to reaching out for Lee Levinson L&N Racing and having increasing success and steady success building a program. And their first graded stake win happens to end up being a grade one. Pretty nice. So Anthony Margata Jr., Bill Downs, Bill Gallo, Andy Serling, Bob Baffert, and more. Actually, Case, let's take a break, and we'll come back with Anthony. And as we do that, I've got a couple of other things to slip in. And I have not had a chance yet to call him, but I've been up since this situation with Tina being out, you know, being out of town Monday nights and Tuesday nights. It's injuring the sleep pattern. Because I do have a tendency to get up, you know, early in the morning, and a lot of times she'll say, you know, get back in bed. You're not getting up. And I know better than to to argue. But then when she's not here, I'm left to my own devices. So I've been up since about 2:20. Yeah. But I actually got quite a bit done. And I one of the things I was catching up on, a lot of the stuff from the weekend. I haven't had a chance to call Mike Arrow. And if you didn't happen to see it, the Arrow patriarch, Charlie Arrow, at age 90, died about, I guess it'll be a week. It'll be a week tomorrow in Haverhill. And you've heard Mikey on the show, you know, talk about his father and you know, growing up around the game. Charlie Arrow, nicknamed the Marshal, did about everything he can do around racetracks. Did it all. Trained, rode, exercised, outrider, you name it. And just a one of those New England horseman legends. So hearts go out to Mike and his brothers, Paul and Kevin, daughter Lisa and Andrea as well, who I've met, and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Just an absolute institution around New England racing. Rockingham and Rhode Island and Gansett, Lincoln and Suffolk and everywhere. And those that want to appreciate Charlie Arrow, they're suggesting donations to the Permanently Disabled Jockey Fund. PDJF, of course, P.O. Box 803, Elmhurst, Illinois, Nancy Scala, 60126. PDJF, Box 803, Elmhurst, Illinois, 60126. Let's take a break. Anthony Margata Jr. is going to join us. We'll get going at the races for Tuesday. Sirius XM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Ah, Saratoga. It's history. It's tradition. It's world-class racing. It's jump racing. Yes, steeplechase racing has played a role in Saratoga's rich history and tradition since 1864, and today it's a part of what makes Saratoga so special. Watch every Wednesday of the meet and two special Thursdays featuring the Grade 1 AP Smithick on July 23rd and the Grade 1 New York Turf Riders Cup on August 20th. Savor the thrill of horses flying over fences. Steeplechase racing, it's a Saratoga tradition.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Pletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow. What other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, 25 minutes into hour one, and have been remiss, and it's overdue that we get a chance to visit with Anthony Margata Jr., who sent out the Monmouth Oaks winner and has been sending out winners for a long time, and the relationship with Vinny Viola certainly brings some nice horses his way, and Anthony certainly knows how to get them to the winner's circle. Anthony, good morning. Congratulations.
Oh, Steve, great victory. Thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, long overdue. In the meantime, let me just share a brief story. So typically when I train in the morning, the first set, we go out, whether at Gulfstream or Monmouth, you know, between 5 and 5:30. And, you know, because I can't hear the show, and I love the show. So I take my tablet, I go up there, we prepare for the sets, I go to the archives, and I start picking out what I want to listen to. So I'll tell you, it's great because I get to hear some things from some great horsemen, you know, some of my companions here in the business. And, you know, you pick up a lot of stuff just from your show, you know, in training. So hearing these different you know, methods that these, you know, great horsemen have. So really good. The show is very helpful to me.
That's too kind. And, you know, most people are looking to pick up, you know, a tip or two to cash a ticket. As opposed to honing in on you know, compatriots and some of their hints. I love it.
Yeah, that may have been the case for me 20 years ago, but them days are gone. No more gambling.
Right. Well, and you've certainly have made the most of the opportunity these last several years after, you know, getting started early on as a young man, and there's been ups and downs, obviously, Anthony, and I you know, I don't know how much of that you want to deal with, but it's been so great to, you know, to see, you know, this steady run of success, and you know, the horses that the Violas have sent you, that, you know, you've brought up to, you know, graded stakes success.
Yeah, well, thank you, Stephen. Yeah, no, let me touch on that for a minute. So my life is, quite frankly, an open book, and you know, anybody who doesn't know the story, it's pretty simple to Google and find out. So Listen, it's been an up and down. First of all, I wouldn't change. Let me start with this. I wouldn't change a thing in my life, and I've been to some very dark places. But I will tell you, coming out the other side, let's say God has done amazing things in this man's life that you're talking to on the phone. If God saved me from the desperation and despair of literally on my knees looking to commit suicide, that's where the addiction took me. So let's get that out there, because I know there's people listening that clearly, you know, in this world, this day and age, particularly now, are struggling. And I want them, whoever it may be listening to, or family members that are listening to this, that there is hope and that there's a solution for anyone that's involved with alcohol, drug addiction. There's a solution, okay? There's 12-step programs. You have God. You have the church. When you get to that point, if you're in despair, don't hesitate to get a hold of me, just like Steve did today. I'm very accessible to get a hold of, to speak to anybody about that, because I say it all the time. I love training thoroughbred racehorses. What happened to us on Saturday was a clear mirror, another blessing from God. I know it's a material thing, but the Bible tells us the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. So these are material things, and they're worldly things. He blesses us so we could be a blessing to others. So if you are struggling with anything, I'm more than happy to talk to anybody about it and show them what the people that showed me how to have the solution, get back on your feet. That being said, also, God will put people in your lives once you get back on the right path. And my dear friend who is resting in heaven with the Lord right now, my dear friend Jimmy Krupe, who has been in my corner from day one and has never given up on me, like my mother and father, was there for me through everything. And if it wasn't for him and his kindness, you know, I just clearly wouldn't have been, you know, back on my feet either. So there's people that he puts in your life. And in turn, Teresa Viola, Vinny Viola, Rory Babich, Andrew Sala. I mean, I could go down a list of people that, you know, or Mike Musto that surround me now that are just, you know, truly dear friends. So I'm really blessed.
Well, and I appreciate you making that offer. And, you know, there's certainly a litany of people on the racetrack and around the racetrack. Somebody certainly that you've got to know from over the years, Tony Black, and Tony, you know, talks about you know, his period where, you know, he blew the turn, and it's a common story, but you need a support system, and you know, you need people to have confidence in you, and you're rewarding that. And I mean, there's so many people. You mentioned JJ Krupe. I mean, there's just countless people that miss him, and you know, whose lives and careers in the game were enhanced and made by him.
Yes, for sure.
Talk about this filly, Tapiture filly, and you know, she certainly, you know, she certainly had kind of given some hints. Winner first out last June, then was on the shelf, and you got her ready, and she chased in the Delaware Oaks, but obviously turned the table on the ones that finished ahead of her that day.
Yeah. So this filly came in. JJ sent her in to me last year. You know, Jimmy was great. He had them, you know, typically he had them, you know, ready. Jimmy was a horse trainer before he went to, you know, go to Ocala and do the pinhooking. So that filly came in really ready to go. And, you know, I talked to him. I said, you know, listen, there's really not much more I could, you know, get a Gates card for, and we should run her, because, you know, Jimmy knows, he always knew what he was doing. So we literally ran her, I think it was like, less than 30 days off the farm. We got the gate card, and she, you know, she won. And, you know, it was interesting, because that day, Steve, that she won, we were burying J.J. Kruppi in Ocala. I was with Vinny, Teresa, the whole crew, the family, the whole Kruppi family, and we were, you know, burying him that day. So she won that day, which was very touching, to say the least. And then she had some little setback with the shins. You know, Vinny and Teresa always do the right thing with their horses. So they went back to the farm, freshened up. She arrived back at Gulfstream on the 14th. And, you know, listen, all the our trainers will understand. Listen, when they come in, you kind of set a plan. And, you know, when a plan comes together, like they say, it's terrific. So this was always the, you know, bullseye. You look at the, you know, the dartboard, you know, the little black thing. That was what we were shooting for, was the Mammoth Oaks, because the timing was right. I knew she would need, with our program, you know, it's not so much them, you know, solid stuff in the morning. We kind of use the, you know, I was taught by some guys I kind of like to emulate, you know, Shug's program, or, you know, Billy, where they get, you know, you work them, you know, to a, that's the school I came from. So we knew that was going to be the case. We used the Delaware race, Tampa race, when we took the blinkers off her to educate her to sit behind horse, because she was a little blank trying to get to the lead all the time. So that really worked out good. And, you know, Antonio did a tremendous job with her up there. And then the Delaware Oaks, quite frankly, I even was telling the guys, I said, listen, she may need this race. I mean, we could hit the board, get the black type, but there's a good possibility she's going to need this. But come Mammoth, we should be in good shape. And again, really blessed to have guys like Rory Babbage, and Vinny and Teresa, who, you know, let you do what you need to do as a horse trainer. And it paid off on Saturday.
Yeah, and this, this group was very nice. And obviously, having points available to go to Kentucky, that enhanced it. And Mammoth keeping the purse at a very healthy $200,000, and so this was a real field she beat. There's no doubt. And Butchie Reed, Butch has got to be happy with Project Whiskey's effort, because I think a lot of people kind of, you know, we're going to get away kind of thinking last time was the time for her, but she backed up her effort, and frankly, she was a value on the board.
Yes, certainly. I was with Butchie. I saw him. We were in the park tiers at Mammoth Saturday, and, you know, we talked after the race, and he was very pleased. He likes his filly, and one of his clients said, we'll see you in Kentucky, so so yeah, they were happy.
How much, you know, talk about how much she has matured and changed and the growth that, you know, it feels when you see a performance like this, you kind of sense that, you know, that time off is going to end up having been a blessing.
You said it, yeah. So clearly, yeah, she's a right now horse. She's lightly raced. She's just coming around, a good time to come around. As far as she's very well put together, but I'll tell you, the best is yet to come with her. She's still, you know, kind of like that, you know, maybe a teenage girl who still could use a few pounds here or there, you know, when they get to a little bit more of a, I mean, she's, you know, God willing, we get a good, you know, rest of the year with her. We bring her back as a 4-year. I'll call my shot. Now she'll be a real force to be reckoned with next year. See, I had Teresa Z who won this race. 17, the Mammoth Oaks, and but Teresa, she was a big, even at 3, she was big and solid. I mean, she was just like a brick shit house. So this filly still has some development to go, as far as, you know, she's still got, you know, no pun intended, some growth to go. And I think she'll, you know, continue to get better. Knockwood, very, very sound filly, have no issues there. Mentally now, she's, you know, as good as you could have her. I'll tell you, Antonio, that's a great, that's just how it worked, right? Look how good, right? The guy does the right thing for me up there. Antonio, listen, I don't care if you win or not. I mean, we want to win, but get her educated, get her behind the horses, let her settle down. Boom. We get down here, Trevor rides the horse in the works. Now the pandemic, they can't come. Antonio on the horse. That was a masterful ride, and because he had the that was the same race he rode in Tampa, except this one was two turns. Really, if you watch both them races, you'll see the same effort. One was 7/8, one was two turns. So he did a, you know, really outstanding job. That's great teamwork. We have a great team. My staff, Flavio Alvarez, my assistant, and these guys are real motivated. I got young guys that are motivated. They want to be horse trainers. So we're really excited. You know, you say, this is like I have a new life, Steve, right? You start,
yeah.
you win the Whitney, you win some big race, Malibu, you go, you hit rock, you know, money came and temptation came with the money. And I come from, I'll be quite transparent, I come from Newark, New Jersey. I came around gamblers and, you know, half of wise
sure.
guys my whole life, you know? So what did I know about a lot of money, right? So I didn't surround myself. So when the temptation came, then the Vegas comes, then this comes, then the alcohol, then the drugs, and I've seen it over and over. So now it's like I'm reborn. So it's like I'll tell you what, I've never been so excited to be, you know, back training horses. You know, don't forget, I just came back. So it's been really, again, God has done a special thing in this man's life and could do a special thing in anybody's life if they just ask.
Well, you referenced, you know, some of the things and some of the accomplishments, and you know, you mentioned a Malibu win going back. It's got to be what?
1998.
I was going to say 20 years.
December 26th, 98, Malibu, right.
Hmm.
Yep. The Whitney we did in 93. Yeah, well, I was well on my way as a young man. And again, you know, I can't, not to belabor the point, but you have to be careful when you start getting successful in any business, whether it's the horse racing business or whatever, that along with success comes temptation. I'm a clear believer in God. So if you believe in God, you have to believe in the devil, because it's biblically right there, printed in black and white, his word. So with that, he says, and the Bible says in Peter, be of sober mind, because the adversary, the devil, roams around like a lion looking to seek, devour, and destroy. So, I'm a clear believer in that. So, yeah, so this is, it's just one of the things where we're very grateful to be back, very grateful to be participating, very grateful to have people like the Violas in my life, you know, the Louis Lazzanaro's in my life. You know Louis, I'm sure you know
the
Louis.
The greatest.
Another example of God puts people, you know, I know Louis a long time. Here's a guy came back. You know, the Croupies of the world, there are genuine, beautiful people in this world, and that's who I want to be involved with.
Well, and a lot that are involved in the game, and it really, you talk about that community, that group, you know, it's a circle of friends and a circle of associates that try to help each other and build each other up, and the game is out there. You know, the accomplishment is, you got to get lucky here and there, no doubt about it. And the van's got to bring something to work with. But it's a great story, Anthony. And, you know, you mentioned the Whitney. Of course, we just had it here Saturday, and you won with Brunswick. You know, for those that don't know history or somewhat new to the game, some of the other, you know, some of those other early successes.
Yeah, so we had Brunswick was all, you know, obviously it was my first Grade One victory. That was in Saratoga '93. We had another horse called Silver Fox. We've had Turk Pastor, okay, who won the Hialeah Turf Cup. He won the Bowling Green, which was really nice. Johnny V used to ride him when he was just starting out, a young man, and you know, a good filly. Chelsea Flower, if you remember.
Oh, her. Of course.
Yeah, Chelsea Flower. We purchased her from Mr. Mara, and, you know, that was another good one. You know, we've had some, you know, good success, Great Pass, Crafty Tenderoni, but it's been, you know, again, I said at the beginning of the show, even though the pain and suffering and the, you know, the where it took me. I wouldn't change a thing in my life. I've had a tremendous life. And the important thing is I know the truth now. And, it says when you know the Son, Jesus, you will be free. You will be free indeed. It will set you free. So I know the truth. Now, all these things, again, are material things and great things. And, you know, it's important that we, you know, we have, God gives us all talents. He's given you a talent, Steve, right? You do the radio show. You bring things to people's ears that they need to hear. We all have special talents in this world. And God has given, you know, me this talent. And, you know, I am so grateful to him because, I was just talking to Vinny and Teresa last night. And I want to make sure they know how important, you know, what God used them to help me, you know, get my career back and to, you know, get back into the business, and they provide me horses. That's a godly thing to do. Listen, they didn't have to do that. You go on my, you look me up. It's not a pretty, you know, there's parts of my life that aren't pretty. And, I'm a firm believer that God will, you know, it says God will put kings in place, presidents in place. He will do all that. He'll take a man's heart and change it and give a guy an opportunity. And that's what they've done, and several other people that some of them I mentioned already. And how can I pay them back? How could I repay them? Well, here's how I could repay them. First and foremost, I could be there for them personally and their families, no matter what situation arises. If I could be of assistance, if they need me to help someone or talk to someone, to be there for them as a person and a loving friend with them first, and then to do the best I can with their horses to win. That's how I could repay them, and that's what I have, and that's a great way to live. That's a great way to live.
Now, people need, you know, people need second chances, and sometimes more, and being able to take advantage of those opportunities, and you certainly have. A couple of notes we got to throw in here too. Bronx Beauty still campaigning.
Yes,
still
Bronx
winning.
Beauty, yes, still winning. We tried her long. We took a shot. I love that match series. You know, it's a fun series that she won last year.
Yep.
That was terrific. You know, Alan Foreman and that crew, I love them guys. They're really good guys. So, you know, that was the touchdown, the end zone, great fun with the Walls, who was also Richie and Marie, who's been great supporters of ours. He's been there through thick and thin also. And they canceled the match series. So
right.
I called Richie and said, bad news. I got good news and bad news. He says, what? He says, what's the bad news? He says, we can't defend the match series. They canceled. He said, well, then what's the good news? I says, well, we're the champs for another year. So she's doing good. We're heading towards the Teresa Garofalo over there. We may run her once before. In Laurel or Press Isle, but the Teresa Garofalo in September.
Nice.
PA bred, $80,000.
Yes.
We like, you know, she's a Pennsylvania bred, so we'll take advantage of that. That's at least where we're heading. But she's doing great. She's what a blessing she's been. She's a lot of fun.
No, and has stayed good for an extended period. I got to ask you about the New York bred too, and when we're going to see Flying Finish next.
So Flying Finish, unfortunately, we ran him. We were going to run him in the New York, the Albany there at September 4th. And I told the guys, they said, you know, we got to get him around two turns because it's a mile and eighth race. And I knew I was cramping him. And I told him, but, you know, our program calls for, you know, the St. Elias program, you got to have graded horses. I mean, Vinny runs a gold star race. So we shipped him over to Delaware and ran him. And he didn't perform very well. So we're just going to back up and then go a different route with him now. We're not going to head for that race anymore.
Huh. All right. He's a Pioneer of the Nile 3-year-old and out of the nice Misty Rosette. And it seemed after that maiden win that, you know, that there was something there to work with. All right. So we'll.
Well, there certainly still may be. No, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
See, that whole the female side of that family was all sprinters. I mean, I knew I was going to take a shot by stretching them out and kind of cramping them a little bit. So, but, you know, the boss gave me the go ahead. And so we took a shot. But there, listen, the horse is good. He's sound. I mean, I think there's still a lot there. I mean, he won't make the the Albany race, the New York Bred race on September 4th, but we're going to what you call regroup, get back to, Vince Lombardi when he said to the guys, all right, listen, let's get back to the basics. This is a football. So we got to go back to the basics.
You had a nice win, too, before we headed to Saratoga. You had good credence that another New York bred.
That one you can keep your eye on. She's training fantastic. So again, the same day, it's a mile and an eighth. She's not ready. The New York bred the stake race that same day. They have one for the boys, 3-year-old fillies and 3-year-old boys. It's a possibility. We're going to see how she trains this weekend, but we'll keep that option. But that filly is really moving forward. She ran a huge race last time. She had some good numbers. So we're going to keep all options open with her. She's a 3-year-old filly, and she'll definitely run again next year. So we'll see. I haven't pinpointed them. We may just go the two other than New York bred on the 16th because she's doing so good. A lot of times, sometimes if these horses are doing good, you don't really want to change. You know what I mean? She's been winning. She wins sprinting. I know she's Jimmy Creed. I know she's out of the Indy win. There's turf there and everything. But, when they're winning, sometimes you just don't like to experiment, until
sure.
You need to.
No, understood. Understood.
Stretching her out or anything like that. So we're going to probably run on the 16th, Steve, the two other than optional, New York bred race. It's a nice purse. Got one more spot there, New York bred. We'll get that condition because if you win open, you blow that condition. So I told the guys, it's a nice pot, 74 grand. Let's try to take that pot down. Then we'll go from there. So that's on the 16th of August at Saratoga.
Well, and that you mentioned Indy Wind, and in fact, just looking at that pedigree, that even the filly, even the mare, was Amy Tarrant. That's got the Heartacre mark all over it, and of course, Indy Wind, Starship Jubilee, tearing it up too for Kevin Attard. So that's a nice, female.
Yeah, I heard him on the show. Yeah, that was a great interview, by the way. Yeah. Yeah, Mike Riccio put that pedigree together, actually. You know Mike?
I know the name.
Yeah, Mike Riccio. Yeah, he put that pedigree together. Yeah, when I bought it, he called me. Yeah, so she's got a lot of, again, that filly there is owned by Thoroughbred Investment Group, Peter Donnelly, Hudson Group. So they're definitely in. They're sportsmen. They're into race. So she will race this year, and then again next year when, there's plenty of New York bred races, long turf, this that. So we'll see. We'll see how much fun we could have with her.
Well, already has displayed talent and was a $110,000 Timonium 2-year-old, and certainly looks like. That was money well spent. And Anthony, clearly, a nice, seemingly elite set here, too. I mean, it's pretty much all allowance horses and stake horses that you're in a pretty good place right now.
Yeah. Again, thanks. Glory be to God. The people he's put in, our lives. We run we don't carry many. We like to carry a 20 tops is good. I like to be hands-on. You know what? I love it for a lot of reasons, Steve. I love it because, therapeutically, I love being there at the barn. When I'm not at the barn for a few days, I start getting a little antsy. So, it's really good for me mentally, physically, everything to be hands-on. That's first and foremost. I like to keep balance in my life. And so that's really good. And I got some young guys that work for me, Flavio Alvarez, Ray Menges, these guys, they want to be horse trainers. They remind me of me when I was working for Croupy. And, I had the best teacher in the world, Steve. I smile when I say it because I'll tell you, to have a guy like Jimmy Croupy, you get the full package. Guy was brilliant, okay? Personality, unbelievable. When you were with him, you just wanted to do good for him because that's just what he, you know, there's something that was like magic, I always say. You know, you want to do good for him. And quite frankly, I carried that to, you know, I've carried that my whole career. That's why even in the 90s, I did the same thing once before. That's why I say I lived two times I'm doing this. Like, I did the same thing. Had Rubensio Quintana, the Quintana brothers, they all worked for me. But we're motivated. Because these guys, it's really your staff. I mean, it's these guys, the grooms, the hot walkers. That's the stuff. You know, you have these lines of defense. You know, you got your groom in there first with these legs. Then you got your foreman. Then you got your assistant. So they don't miss much when you've got a great staff. And when they're motivated, like, it's just, you know, I have to say, Wayne Lucas, who I always, you know, I could not admire that. The man was a great motivator. He was a coach. He was a motivator. And look at what he's set out. Look, Todd. Look at the guys, Karen. And he always says, these guys carried me on their shoulders. Well, I happen to agree with him, with my guys, too. These guys do a fantastic job in there. So, I credit my staff, you know, my clients, and I'm just happy to be in a position to do my part as a leader for my guys and to be, work with my clients and, to deliver them a transparent, message to what's happening in the barn.
Well, the evidence very apparent on the racetrack. And you mentioning the early days, what actually drew you, before we go, what drew you to the racetrack originally?
All right, so since we're short on time, I'll give you the short version. So as a kid, born in Newark, raised in Bloomfield, I've already, my life's an open book. So my uncle was a real live gangster, and my father was a school teacher, like hustler type, little of this, little of that. But they would go to the racetrack every day. So when I was a kid, I went to the racetrack with him the first time, and I just fell in love with it. There was no hanging out with my friends or whatever. I wanted to hang out with them. So I used to go to Monmouth Park, go to the racetrack. They'd have the teller in the window,
Sure.
He's going to put the bets in. I was like 15 or 16. They duke them. I would put the bets in. And my deal was I get 10% of whatever they won. And if they lost, I didn't make anything, but we'd have dinner or whatever. So it was a good deal for me. I was, the first kid in my school, that when I got my license to buy a car, with the money I have for them. So we're sitting down now I'm getting ready to graduate high school, and we're sitting at the table. I'll never forget it. It was over here. It used to be the Holiday Inn next to Monmouth. They had a little restaurant in there. My uncle is a bunch of guys sitting around the table. You could probably picture it, when I moved. Girls sitting around. And so I get the question posed to me, okay, you're going to graduate high school, what are you going to do with, are you going to go to school, college, what work, what are you going to do? So I looked at my uncle and I looked at my father and I says, well, I'm going to do, what you guys do. I wanted to wear the suits. I wanted to do all that stuff. I was like a little tough guy here. So I never forget it. My father put the finger up, like the number one, and shook it, his hand. It's like, no. He said, you're not going to do that. He says, why don't you go to the racetrack, all right, and learn how to train horses? Them guys are making all the money. I loved my father, and I wanted to make him proud. I looked at my uncle. He said, your father's telling you, right? I said, yeah, all right, so I'll do it. My uncle says, all right, I'm going to call you tomorrow. Now I'm going to make a phone call, and then I'm going to call you. So my uncle calls me the next day. He says, listen, the day you graduate high school, because the graduation was coming up, he says, you get in your car, you go to Monmouth Park, and you go to Barn 15. There's a guy by the name of Jimmy Krupe.
Unbelievable.
There. He says he's going to be expecting you. So I get in my car, graduate, I throw the cap up, I get in the car, I go to Monmouth, get in the stable gate, I go to Barn 15, and classic Krupe, he knew I was coming, my uncle called, they talked to him. I come up, he says, what's your name? I says, Anthony Margotti. He says, yeah. He says, okay, where are you from? I says, I'm from, Bloomfield, New Jersey. He says, they don't even have trees in Bloomfield, New Jersey. What do you want to do training horses? What do you know about that? So he sends me in to walk a horse. I took this horse, Steve. I was scared to death. I took it one turn. I said, Mr. Krupe, I can't. I've only been on the other side of the fence gambling with my uncle and my father. I don't know. You got to have somebody teach me. He says, well, you got to have to learn sooner or later. He says, you don't want to walk the horse today? I says, no, no. He says, okay, go wash my car and then sweep the road. So that was it. a month later, I was driving him because we hit it off right away. A month later, he lived in Totowa, New Jersey, Jimmy. He would drive back and forth from Totowa in his brown Mercedes. And I was living in Bloomfield with my family. I was 18. So I would pick Jimmy up in the morning. He'd give me the car, the brown BMW, which was like a home run. Because I had my car, but it was like a Chevrolet. That was nice, but he had the Mercedes. So I used to pick him up 4 o'clock in the morning. How about that education that I got? Being with him all the time, up and down the road, learning, you know, fun stories. So I would pick him up at Totowa. We'd drive to Monmouth. We would train, do whatever. And then I'd drive him home, drop him off. And then I would go out, you know, hang out a little bit with my friends or whatever, go home and then pick him up in the morning. And that relationship was, you know, gold. I love Jimmy Crupie.
Well, I'm glad we got that part in, too. So we've come full circle, and Anthony, just an absolute delight, and as I said, an overdue pleasure and privilege to get you on, and I'm so delighted for this and for the success, and best wishes, continued success, and on to the Oaks, on to Kentucky.
Amen. Thank you very much, Steve, for having me. God bless you all.
Anthony Margata Jr. and one of the really uplifting stories on the racetrack, and we touch on these with Anthony, you heard from one of the great founders of a resource for racetrackers when Salty Roberts came on with us, and that was an incredible privilege. And you know, Salty's work getting the racetrack chaplaincy started, and the people like Brian Burns, who has told his story on the show, and so many others. And the racetrack is a great safety net in its own way, and a lot of people find their way there, and they might have been. Might have gotten lost along the way, but there's no more generous and gracious community for people in need. There's no doubt. Let's take a break here. Top of the hour upon us, and we've got Bill Downs going to visit, Bill Gallo, Andy Serling, Bob Baffert, and more. Hour two at the races after this.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Business of Horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Ah, Saratoga. It's history. It's tradition. It's world-class racing. It's jump racing. Yes, steeplechase racing has played a role in Saratoga's rich history and tradition since 1864. And today, it's a part of what makes Saratoga so special. Watch every Wednesday of the meet and two special Thursdays featuring the Grade 1 AP Smithick on July 23rd and the Grade 1 New York Turf Riders Cup on August 20th. Savor the thrill of horses flying over fences. Steeplechase racing, it's a Saratoga tradition.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Pletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow. What other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track. for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities,